than Cain, and it talks about that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. By faith, Noah was warned of God of things to come. By faith, Abraham, and it just keeps on going. So we call that the Faith Hall of Fame, all right? So anyways, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what does he expect from us? He expects two things from us. He expects us to believe, number one, that he is God and he is able to handle whatever comes your way. That he is. And the second thing he expects from us is to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. He is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In James 4:8, it says, if you'll draw near to God, that he'll draw near to you. Okay, a major key to having overcoming faith is having a relationship with God. A relationship with God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's a good thing to have a relationship with him. I want to read a real quick testimony to you. This is in the Believer's Voice of Victory. It's Kenneth Copeland's magazine for this month. And this was in the international news section. It's from Sri Lanka. And it says, December 25th, our friends came to our house to have dinner and spend the night. On the 26th, they wanted to go to the Ngombo beach. Ever since Kenneth and Gloria taught us to ask God to show us daily the path we should take, we never step out of the house without God's permission. On the 26th, we repeatedly asked God for permission to go to the beach. Every time he said no. Our friends who were non-Christians wanted to go to the beach without us. Once again, the Lord strongly said, no one is to go to the beach today. See, if you have a relationship with him, he can tell you things. He can talk to you. Our friends believe God speaks to us and protects us, so they decided not to go to the beach. Within an hour, we got the first phone call that the tsunami waves had hit the coastal area of Sri Lanka. Then the report came that the Ngombo beach was also underwater. Praise God for saving our lives. You know, one word from God can save your life. He can tell you, you know, don't take that road today. Just go the wrong way. So what if it's a little longer? Go the other way. They wanted to go to the beach. It sounds to me like they were sounding like little kids. We want to go to the beach. Please, God, let us go to the beach. And he kept saying, no. That's the way they made it sound, but it saved their lives listening to God. I think that is such a fantastic testimony. But if you'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to you, and he'll lead, and he'll guide, and he'll direct you, and he'll show you where to go, what to do, so that you can avoid trouble. Hallelujah. Now, what do we do, though, when we're in trouble? Things look bleak. What should we do? Well, you know, the number one thing we shouldn't do is check out what our friends did over here. You know, we have all the time, there are people that say, well, you know, I believe God, and it just didn't work. Well, it didn't for them. But that, should we be looking at them for answers? No, we shouldn't be looking at people. We should be looking at God. And he tells us right here, if you'll go to the Faith Hall of Fame, we're going to go here today to the Faith Hall of Fame, and we're going to see, how did these guys act? What did they do when bad circumstances happened to them? Hallelujah. You know, did these guys make the Faith Hall of Fame because they were special? Anybody? Were they super special to God, and so that's how they were able to make it to the Faith Hall of Fame, because God loved them more than he loved anybody else that he's ever created. Is that right? No. They were not God's favorites. They were not special. They just did something that most of the people, that everybody else who did not make it in here did. And so if we'll follow their example, we can make it into the Faith Hall of Fame too. You know, the Faith Hall of Fame is still being written. It may not be in this Bible right here, but in heaven, there is still a Faith Hall of Fame going on. Hallelujah. And we can make it into the Faith Hall of Fame if we'll do what these guys did. Hallelujah. Lots of people think that receiving from God should be as easy as watching an infomercial. You know, that's our society right now, is we live in an infomercial society. We want things now. And we're just like little babies. We want things now, and we want them our way, and we want the easiest way to get the thing. So what do we do when we watch an infomercial? Well, I don't know about you, but I've especially over the past 6 years with all these little kids, I've seen lots of infomercials. So there are lots of infomercials on getting in shape, right? So one of the ones I saw a couple years ago was I think Power 90. It's still on. Anybody seen Power 90? Well, anyways, this infomercial for Power 90, I thought, oh, that sounds really interesting. And so I went online and I looked at it and I decided I liked this Power Half Hour better, which was part of their thing because it only was half an hour. It's like, well, I could do maybe half an hour. But, you know, this is what we do. This is such a close analogy to what we do with the Word of God. We get stirred up. We see that infomercial, and we get so excited. Oh, I'm going to get in shape. I can get in shape with just half an hour a day, a few days a week. This is so great, you know. I don't have to suffer anything. So what do? We watch it. We get stirred up. Then we buy the product. And then we try it for a few times, and we say, oh, that's too much work. And we put it on our bookshelf, and we don't touch it for years and years. Anybody? Am I the only one that does that? That's what I did. I bought it 2 years ago after I had Elizabeth. Oh, I'm going to get in shape. And you know what? I tried it for about a week. And every time I'd start to exercise, the kids would be home. They'd start crawling on me. I was like, just forget it. I'll just not be in shape. Hallelujah. But that's exactly what we do. And you know what? This is so close. You know, God talks about infomercial faith. Let's all turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to see what infomercial faith looks like, where you get excited and then you quit. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're just going to look at one little section of this. This is where Jesus is talking about the sower sows the word and different places that it falls. But we're going to look at, Mark chapter 4. Well, I guess we can start at the beginning. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are the people who changed the channel and didn't even look at the infomercial. They didn't get excited about it. They just changed the channel, okay? And then verse 16, and these are they likewise. And I'd say probably most people are here in verses 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for it but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Doesn't that sound exactly what I just described about the infomercial faith? It's exactly like it in verse 17 in the Amplified, and they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And this is what happens to a lot of people when they're believing God. They hear a great message. They hear that God wants them healed, that God wants to answer their prayers, that God wants them to be rich. And so they're excited about it for a little while. And then they get their bank statement. And they say, oh, well, this just doesn't work. Forget it. You know, and they get offended and they quit. I have a real life example of this. You get the doctor's report. This happens all the time. People are excited. They hear the word of God. They're excited because they know God can help them. But then what happens? They hear the doctor's report, which is evil. And they are crushed. And they die. That happens because they give up. Why? Because there was no root in themselves. You understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to be like that, though. But I have an example of this. I can understand how it happens because I have a scale at home. A few years ago, for my birthday, Greg bought me a scale. And so he's just a great guy. Anyways, it was one of those big scales from Costco, and it's supposed to be really accurate and all this stuff, right? So over the years, the kids have broken it. And so we knew it was off. We thought it was about 6 pounds off. But we're trusting in this scale, just like people trust in the doctor's report. Okay? We're trusting in this scale. And last month I said, okay, well, I'm going to do something about being overweight, because I knew I was about 15 pounds overweight and my clothes were all fitting tight, right? And so I get on the scale and it tells me what I've thought. I always would get up close to that 9 number, and then I'm saying, I reached that 9, and I said, oh, I'm not going past. I'm not going to the next 0. I'm going down, right? And so I wouldn't ever allow myself to go to that next place on my scale. And so I started actually exercising, using my thing that I didn't use for 2 years. And I started watching what I eat, and lo and behold, I lost 8 pounds. I'm so excited. You know, I lost 8 pounds. It shows it on the scale. And then I decided, well, you know, I want a more accurate scale. I know this one's off about 6 pounds, so that way I'm more accurate. So I went and bought a new scale. And as a matter of fact, Connie talked to me right after I bought this scale, and so she knows exactly. I was so upset because I got on this scale, and remember, I've just lost 8 pounds. I weighed 12 pounds more. I weighed more than the 00 number that I thought I would never go past. That scale was lying to me. And so what did I do? I wanted to become offended. I wanted to say, forget this. I knew it was working. I knew exercise and diet works because I'd lost 8 pounds. However, since it was way up higher than when I started, I just wanted to say, oh, forget this. And I went through a couple days thinking, you know, I kept exercising. Like, you know, I just want to quit exercising and forget this eating less. Just forget it. It just doesn't work. See, but that's what we do. We get discouraged. We get offended. That's what that offended by the word is talking about. Why do we get offended? Because we have no root in ourselves. Hallelujah. I think that's a very sad place to be. But it doesn't have to be like that. Now let's look at the people in the Faith Hall of Fame. Now they were special. They weren't special because they were Abraham or Sarah or Isaac or Noah. They were special because they did something that everybody else didn't do. Hallelujah. Now, what did they do? They did the work that faith requires. Faith requires work. Boy, wouldn't it be great if it didn't? Boy, that would just be so exciting. That's what everyone's looking for. We're looking for something easy. And unfortunately, the Word of God is not easy. It's not. You know, sometimes we can receive things easily, but you still have to have root in yourself or you can lose what you received. You know what I mean? So anyways, let's look at Abraham. We're going to look at Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 again. We'll just see what it says real quick about him. Okay. Hebrews is hiding from me here. Okay, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. See, when he was 75 years old, God told him, I want you to leave your father's house. He's 75, right? Leave your land where you grew up, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you on the way. He didn't tell you, I want you to go over there to that place. No, he said, I want you to go, and I'll show you as you go where I want you to go. That's what God said to Abraham, okay? So by faith, he went out, and he said, okay, and he followed. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, that says all the good things about them. But you know, it took them 25 years to get there. 25 years. How would you like to believe God for a baby for 25 years? 25. God promised him this great thing. Your seed's going to be like the stars of the heaven. But you know, when he got to be 85, he went up to God in Genesis chapter 15. He went up to God and he said, you know, I know you said I was going to have these great heirs and star children like the heavens, like the stars in the heaven, but all I have is my servant. Is he supposed to be my heir? And what did God say to him? God said, no, your heir is going to come out of your own bowels. He said, no, this child is going to come from you. It's your seed. And so he said, oh, okay. Now Sarah, the good wife, he's 75, she's 65 at the time. Sarah, the good wife, it says about Abraham that, what does it say? Let me look at it real quick. Genesis chapter 15. I'll tell you what it says. It says that Abraham believed God. At that point, after God said to him, well, the baby's going to come out of your own bowels. It says, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So God saw, yeah, he's believing me now. Okay? So now, he's believing God. Now, Sarah, the good wife, is hearing that Abraham is believing God. She sees, oh, he's believing God, that this baby, that these heirs are going to come out of his body. But you know, Sarah had been barren her entire life. She's 65 years old, and she's been barren. They knew that. She's been barren for years and years and years, forever. There's no baby coming out of Sarah. So what does she do? The good wife takes it into her own hands to help God out, because God said that the seed would come from Abraham. And she says, okay, well, Abraham, I have this maid over here. Why don't you go ahead and you can have a baby with her, and that way you'll still have an heir. All right?
Yeah.
So he says, okay, well, I guess that maybe that's what God meant. And so her servant gets pregnant. Well, then her servant starts being real snippety and ugly to Sarah. You know, look at me. I have a baby and you don't. Blah, blah, blah. And so I think Abraham was a good husband there, though, because he didn't say, well, yeah, she's great. She's going to be the mother of my child. He says, she's your maid. Do whatever you want with her. I was pleased that he did that. He was a good husband. Anyways, hallelujah. But Abraham believed God. They took it in their own hands. Hey, Rovercomer, how are you doing? Did you get your mother a nice Mother's Day gift? Oh, good. Are you going to take her out to lunch? Oh, you got her a bracelet. Oh, like this one? Isn't that beautiful? I got a Mother's Day present like that too today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'll see you later, Rovercomer. Bye. Hallelujah. Okay, so at 86, Ishmael was born. All right. Now, Abraham thought, well, this must be the child, you know. This is it. So he kept going along about minding his own business. Remember, he started out when he's 75. Now there's just Ishmael, who is, and the mother is run off and all this stuff. Finally, God speaks to him when he's 99 years old. And he says to him, you know, Abraham's been believing for all these years. God speaks to Abraham and he says, no, Sarah. He said, I'm changing your name to Abraham. He was Abram before. He said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Look at the stars in the heaven. These are going to be your heirs and all this. And he told him, and Sarah is going to be the mother of these nations. Sarah. I'm changing her name to Sarah from Sarai, or however you say that. All right. Now, Sarah, remember, Sarah, it says she judged him faithful who had promised. She made the Faith Hall of Fame too. Now, at this point, she is 89 years old. And she heard God tell him this. And what did she do? She started laughing. Now, was she laughing because she was excited about the news? No. She laughed, and we know it's not true because God said to her, why are you laughing? You know, you wouldn't, if somebody's laughing and you wouldn't, and they were excited, you wouldn't ask them, why are you laughing? And she said, oh, she lied to him. She said, oh, I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing about anything. So was she in faith then? No, but somehow between 89 and that next year, when she became 90 and had Isaac, she got in faith, didn't she? She got in faith enough that she had this baby that she conceived, a barren woman, at 89 years old. The time of being of women, it said, had passed with her, but she judged him faithful. It says she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Hallelujah. She did the work. Whatever it was, she did the work to build roots in herself and get in faith. And so did Abraham. They did it. Hallelujah. Look at Noah just for a second. Noah, God told him, he made the Faith Hall of Fame. God told him, I want you to build an ark. I want you to fill it with all these people because there's going to be a flood. At that time, it had never rained. He had no reason. It took him close to 100 years to build this ark with people making fun of him and all this stuff. But why did he do it? He made the Faith Hall of Fame. He did it. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 real quick. In Romans chapter 4, we're going to see a little bit more about Abraham and Sarah. Hallelujah. Just sheds a little bit more light. Because if we'll do what the people in the Faith Hall of Fame did, we can have the same kind of results. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 4 and starting at verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This is what Abraham and Sarah had to do. Who against hope believed in hope. Against hope, there was no hope for Sarah to have a baby. But who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. He had a promise from God. We have promises from God too. Hallelujah. And sometimes it looks like there's no way. There, you said I'm going to be rich, Father, but it looks like no way in heaven is that happening. But you know, who against hope? If you'll against hope believe in hope, it can come to pass for you too. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's what we do. We stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Our unbelief says, no way, that's not going to happen. Can't possibly happen. I can't receive that. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he who had promised was also able to perform. That's where we need to get. If we want to get into the Faith Hall of Fame, if we want to receive from God, we need to become fully persuaded. That means no one can convince you otherwise. You are fully persuaded, without a shadow of a doubt, sure, that what he promised will come to pass in your life. And when you get to that point, you'll get what you're fully persuaded about. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what can we do to develop that same kind of relationship with God that Abraham and Sarah had, that Noah had, that David had? What can we do? Well, it requires two things, just like developing a relationship with anyone. It requires time. You have to spend time with God. How do we spend time with God? By praying, by reading your Bible. But it also requires effort. It requires work. Nothing worthwhile is easy. Is getting in shape easy? Boy, don't we, how many of us wish getting in shape was easy? Anybody here just wish you could just wave your magic wand and you're in shape? Wouldn't that be fabulous? But it's not like that. Nothing worthwhile is easy. There's nothing on this earth that's easy if it's worth something. No. So it's the same thing with the Word of God. It requires work. We want it to be easy, but it requires work. Boy, Romans 10:17. Let's look over there. We're in Romans. In Romans 10:17, we're talking about how to get fully persuaded faith. Well, in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to get fully persuaded faith, you need to hear the Word of God over and 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 over. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Overcoming faith requires work. Effort. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we can't quit. Verse 15. No, that's another one. Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. I was going to say, that doesn't look like the right verse. That's why. Okay, it says, study, verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. What does he say that we're supposed to be? A workman. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. So if you that means that if we're not a workman, what should we be? Ashamed. Why are we ashamed? Because we don't have any roots. We don't have any roots, and so we don't have any stamina. We can't receive the promises of God like Abraham did. There's nothing there. But if we want to receive like Abraham, like Sarah, like Noah, like David, like Isaac, like like Shadrach, like Meshach, like Abednego, then what do we need to do? We need to have roots in ourselves. We need to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Hallelujah. In James 1:25, it says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of the work, shall be blessed." Hallelujah. So then, walking by faith is like losing weight. If you'll just think about that this week, what's it like to lose weight? And compare that to walking with God, because it's very similar. Hallelujah. We want a quick fix, but that's not how faith works. That's not how the Word of God works. He says we need to be workmen that need not be ashamed. Hallelujah. So what do we need to do? We need to build up roots in ourselves so that when circumstances come, we can stand. We can stand and we can be fully persuaded and we can receive. Hallelujah. You know, way back in 1989, I've told this story before, but back in 1989, something bit me on my neck. And I don't know what it was because I never went to the doctor, but it kind of spread up. It turned about as thick as my finger. It looked like a scar. And it started out as a tiny thing, but then it grew up onto my face and into my hair all the way around. People would stop me at the bank and say, "Did you have surgery?" That's how bad it looked. It was terrible. And you know, it happened in October. It was my first year of teaching school. It happened in October. And I was going to a church that believes in healing, and I was going to a church that expects you, you know, to be reading your Bible and praying just like this one. And I knew scriptures about healing. And so I would, like a good girl, I would say the right things when someone would ask me, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I believe I'm healed. Thank you." And I would quote the scriptures to myself, you know, when I'd remember, "Oh, I thank you, Father, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Jesus took my infirmities and bore away my sickness. I thank you, Father, that I'm healed in Jesus' name." I did that for almost an entire year. I did that from October to June, and what happened? It grew bigger and worse and uglier, so bad that I didn't like to look at people. I would look in the mirror, and I would just be disgusted. And I would say to myself, "You are so ugly. That is so disgusting." I mean, it was horrible. And I was saying all the right things. But you know what? Was I being a workman that needeth not be ashamed? I was saying the right things. I'd even read my Bible. But it wasn't until that June when I got out of school and I decided, you know, I've had enough of this. And I found some healing scriptures. They're in here somewhere. I found some healing scriptures, and I started reading those every single morning. It would take me 30 minutes, and I would read them every single night before I went to bed. It would take me 30 minutes, just like exercise, and I would do that every single day. And in the meantime, I started listening. There was this one tape that I liked that talked about healing, and we had lots of tapes, but there was one that I really liked, and so I listened to that tape every single day for a month. And at the end of that month, do you know what? That thing disappeared. Gone completely. It wasn't instant. It started out getting smaller and smaller, and next thing you know, it just disappeared. It just faded away. Did I do anything different? No. I mean physically, I didn't go to the doctor. I wasn't putting a special medicine on it. What changed it? The Word of God. See, I became fully persuaded. I wasn't fully persuaded. I was tricking myself. And that's what many of us do. And then we want to say, "Well, God, why did you let this happen? You weren't fully persuaded. That's why it didn't happen. That's why what you wanted didn't come to pass. You were wishful thinking." And wishful thinking doesn't work. I wish it did. We all wish it did. But you know what my mom used to say? If wishes were fishes, we'd all be drowned. Anybody ever heard that before? Well, that was from my mother. So anyway, since it's Mother's Day, I can quote my mom today. I wish it worked, but it doesn't. Wishful thinking is not the Word of God. Saying scriptures when you think of it is not the way you receive the promise. That's not the way you get into the Faith Hall of Fame. It's by being fully persuaded. And the only way you're going to become fully persuaded is time and work, effort. You know, I don't believe Abraham He says he believed God, but I don't believe Abraham. As a matter of fact, I know Abraham was not fully persuaded for 24 out of those 25 years. He was walking with God as best as he could. He believed God as best as he could. But it wasn't until he was 99 that he became fully persuaded. And then it was within a year that they had Isaac. When you become fully persuaded, things happen. And you will know the difference. You'll know. When it happens, you'll know. You'll know. Where will you know? Right here. All of a sudden, you know, when we'd go to church, thinking back about it afterwards, we used to go to a Tuesday night Bible study, and there was a doctor that sat. We always liked to sit in the second row because we like to be in the front. You guys that sit in the back, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's better in the front, okay? So anyways, we'd always sit in the second row, and Dr. Stakely would sit in the first row. And we'd sit behind him, and we'd get there, and now I'm believing I'm healed. I'm saying all the right. But I'd get there, and we'd sit down, and I'd kind of, you know, cover myself up because I didn't want him to see me. Like he was even going to say anything. But, you know, that shows right there, though, that I was tricking myself. I didn't really believe. Because if I really believed I was healed, what would I care if somebody saw me and said anything? You see what I'm saying? But it was when all of a sudden, after time and much effort, that I became fully persuaded. And when I became fully persuaded, I could look in that mirror. And when I'd look in that mirror before, it would look at me back and it'd say, "You're so ugly. You are so disgusting." Okay, it did that to me for 9 months. But then later I could look in the mirror and I could say, "You're healed in Jesus' name. You just shut your mouth. I don't care what you look like." It's something that comes from right here. It comes from growing roots in yourself. And once you have grown roots in yourself, you will become fully persuaded. So whatever you need, if it's finances that you need, you know, you can say the scriptures, you can quote the scriptures, you can even do it 2 or 3 times a week. But that's not going to get roots in yourself built up enough to become fully persuaded and receive the promise. Hallelujah. You can have something in your body, and you can quote scriptures when you think of it. You can say the right things in front of people that you know you should say the right things in front of. But what are you doing at nighttime? What are you doing in the middle of the night? What are you thinking? Are you fully persuaded? If you are not fully persuaded, convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the word of God is true, and let every man be a liar because it is true and it is going to come to pass for me, then you're not fully persuaded. And you need to spend some time in this word and become fully persuaded, because God wants more than anything for you to have the promises that he provided for you. He sent his son Jesus for that, for all of us. But all we have to do is become what? Fully persuaded. And how do we do that? We grow roots in ourselves. Because without a root in ourselves, we're going to wither up, dry up, and become offended by the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and have Pastor Greg come on up. Thank you, Father.